The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place that he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way, and behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, or no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceable person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is set before you, for the laborer deserves his reward. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in that town, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust from our feet we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And Jesus said to them, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and upon all the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. What an interesting gospel indeed. This has got to be the largest group that Jesus sent out, at least until this point. And now he is sending each of us. Why do you think he sent them in pairs? Well, support, yes. Encouragement of another. And most of all, because he realized how challenging the work was. It was fraught with danger. He said, "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." That was pretty stout. He knew how difficult it is to be an evangelizer. An evangelizer back then, or an evangelizer even in the modern world. It's difficult work giving witness and testimony to the Christ. There are a lot of people that really don't want to hear and don't want to engage. That is why he went on and said, "Hey, go to a place. If you make a connection, use that connection. Work it. Make it happen. And celebrate the good news. Tell them the kingdom of God is at hand." But conversely, he said, if it's not working, if people are resistant, don't waste time. Be intensely focused. Keep moving on, because there's so much to do. And at the heart of all of it, the harvest is great. That is certainly true in our world today. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There are not sufficient people to evangelize. The Mass essentially fits right into this whole process. The Mass, the liturgy, spending time with him is the foundation of today's gospel. Spending time, and then he sent them out. Then they come back in to process what had happened, the excitement that they had when they came back in. Jesus sent the disciples out to reap the harvest. We tend to think sometimes of leaving it to specialists. We like to leave it to nuns or priests or missionaries. We think, well, that's their role, that's their responsibility. But the people that Jesus picked, look at them. They were anything but specialists. They were just like you and I. They were struggling in their own lives, in their own areas, perhaps even in their own jobs, and he called them. That's the key item. He called them and sent them. He called them, instructed them, and sent them. They didn't go through any seminary training or any good big theological courses. He prepared them. He prepared them. He showed them how. He witnessed to them. Then they became his instruments. Few things help an individual more than to place responsibility on them and to let them know that you trust them. That's what Jesus did with the 72. They began by being disciples, and then he steered them to goals beyond themselves, and they became the apostles. That's the way it should be with us. The Lord asks us to share with others what we have received from him. There are things which will remain undone if we don't do them. We lift ourselves up in proportion as we help to lift others up. That's an important thought, that in ministering to others, we find ourselves over and over again lifted up, that we are raised up. That was the experience of the disciples. You hear them when they come back, they're saying, oh man, you should have seen it. We drove out demons in your name. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I understand your excitement, guys, but don't get too frenetic on that. What is really important is that you know you are doing what is real, valuable in terms of coming to the kingdom of God. You are proclaiming the kingdom of God. You are building up the kingdom of God. Christianity is really a very practical religion. It's an invitation to witness to him who has first witnessed to us. It's an invitation to proclaim the presence of his kingdom. It's not something way off in the future, but something that is present right here, right now, that we are being loved into life by him. And he invites us to surrender to him and to surrender to that love. Catherine de Houck Doherty, who was an outstanding Christian, she was a Russian aristocrat by birth, but she spent most of her life in the United States. She says, and she is the author of that great book, Pustinia. She says, at an early age, I learned that the gospel has to be lived. It's not just about hearing the gospel, it's about integrating the gospel into my life experience. How do I integrate the gospel in my own life experience? Would people in my workplace know that I am a Christian by the manner in which I live, by the manner in which I speak, by the manner in which I show up during the course of the week? What in my life gives testimony to the fact that I am a follower of Christ? As a young woman, Catherine de Houck Doherty worked as a cocktail waitress in a Manhattan bar. On one occasion, she announced to a group of GIs and their girlfriends, whom she had come to know over a period of time, and she realized that they were Catholic, having chatted with them quite often as customers at the place. She said to them, it's closing time. And of course it was an appropriate enough time. It was 4 a.m. in the morning. And she said, I've got to be off. And somebody said to her, where are you going, Katie? And she responded, it's Sunday and I'm going to Mass. Oh, that means you're a Catholic then, they said. Yes, she replied, I am a Catholic. They couldn't get over the fact that she could be a practicing Catholic and working in a place like that. And so they all trooped off and went to Mass together with her. A couple of weeks later, one of the girls from the group returned and she said, "You know, you've made me think. If you can live a good life while working in a place like this, then maybe I can too." It was a very simple witness, a very simple testimony, but a very powerful one. That young lady said to her, "Hey, I should like to go to see the priest. I should like to visit and get my life in order again. I should like to go to confession and have the opportunity to live just like you live." Another time, Catherine de Houck talks about when she was traveling on the subway in Montreal. She met a woman on the subway. She sat opposite her, and the woman looked over and she said to her, "You look like a kindly person. Would you mind talking to me for a while?" And she explained her circumstances. She was a widow and she had no children, and she rode the train just to try and find company on a regular basis. Catherine de Houck Doherty says, "We made two trips from end to end of the subway line, talking all the way." She said, "We became great friends, and I corresponded with her until her death." It didn't require any great special training. In fact, it didn't require any seminary training or study or theology or... It was just a kindness that came from her as a person. Those words in the gospel are so important and they're so valid for today. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. It may seem in many ways that the laborers are becoming fewer. I know they are in terms of religious vocations to the priesthood and the sisterhood, but maybe that is merely pointing us in the direction that we don't need specialists. We need missionaries, we need very ordinary people, just like the 12 he chose in the beginning. They weren't specialists, but his presence and his relationship with them equipped them to do the work that he wanted. That's what we are learning in Christ life. That's why Christ life is so important, because it is central to our having a personal relationship with him. We really can't do this work of proclaiming his kingdom unless we have that relationship with him. The early fathers in the church really understood this. They loved to say, "Nemo dat quod non habet." If you ain't got it, you can't give it. If you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord, a personal experience of how he loves and appreciates you, then you cannot really share that witness with another. The gospel is a great invitation to have a relationship with him, and then having nurtured and cultivated and developed that relationship, bring that good news to others, because the harvest is indeed great.